My sophomore year, I thought I needed to change my major to biblical studies. I've been in the Word a lot, I was seeking God, and I felt this passion in my heart building that if I could teach the Bible and get paid for it, if I could study it, teach it, and get paid for it, that'd be the greatest job ever. Right? That was a passion of my heart. And so I changed it to biblical studies. I met a wonderful girl, and we got engaged before my junior year. And of course, as any prospective wife would do, most people ask you during your 1 year of college. She asked me when we got engaged, "All right, honey, what are you going to do with this degree, biblical studies? Do you think you're going to be a pastor?" She wants to know what she's signing up for. I said, "No, honey, I don't think that's what God's calling me to." "Okay, well, a youth pastor." "I don't think that's it either." "Okay, missionary?" "Nah, overseas?" "No, I don't think that's it either." She's like, "Well, honey, what are you going to do with this degree? There's always so many things you can do with it." And my response is, "I'm not really sure. I don't think those things are it, but I do know there's a passion in my heart. If I could study the Bible, teach it, and pay for it, that would be what I'd love to do, but I don't think it's in those scenarios." And of course, you can imagine that's not the response she wanted to hear from her prospective husband, that he has no idea how he's going to use his degree. But she still married me, praise the Lord, my greatest earthly blessing. And so I graduated, and while I waited for her, she's a year behind me. I worked at YMCA for a year, then I worked at 84 Lumber for a year after that. I call that my year in the wilderness. I hated that job. Oh, with a passion. But during that time, what I was trying to do is just seek God. I was like, "God, I'm not sure what you have for me. I'm just going to grab a hold of you, and you just put me where you want me." And I was just seeking him, trying to build that personal relationship. At the end of July, that year working at 84 Lumber, there was an article on the news that said Hamilton County has a teacher crisis. They need teachers. And they were going to allow people to teach on a temporary license to go ahead and come in and start teaching. You can work towards your license. And when I saw that, I thought, "Man, let me go sign up for that." I was in the public school system. I was thinking, "I know I won't be teaching Bible, but I like to teach. So I mean, I'll probably enjoy it better when I'm enjoying this. And I'll go sign up to be a PE teacher." Anybody can do that. That was my thinking, right? And so I went and took my resume in. And Dr. Hardaway called me back to her office. She's looking at my resume, and she said, "Okay, well, I see here that you have a major in biblical studies." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "So I assume that you're applying for the Bible history position." I looked at her. She looked at me. "Yes, I am." As of that moment, I was applying for that position. And I finished the interview with her, was interviewed by the principal, and literally got hired the very beginning of August, stepped into a classroom, a high school classroom, not really having any idea what I was doing, really no clue. But a few things became apparent real quick. Number one, I loved it. Number two, I was good at it. It was just natural for me. I also had a great rapport with teenagers. I don't know if that says something good or bad about me, but I could really get along with the high schoolers. And then I sat back and I realized, wow, I am studying God's Word, telling people about it, and getting paid for it. Amazing. Yeah. In a public high school, my friends. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. I could not have fathomed that, but God could. He knew that a long time ago. He is faithful. So if we remember those kind of things in our lives, it gives us faith for the present and for the future. Which takes us to point number two. We live in the present through the power of Christ. Which sounds very dramatic. What does it exactly mean? Well, I think the way we live in the present through the power of Christ is that daily we have to get our focus off ourselves and onto Him. Because for a lot of us, in the nooks and crannies of our life, we're holding on to control. And we think, really, that maybe we can do God's will without Him. "You just point me in the right direction, God, I'll take care of it." Right? Or, you know, that, well, yeah, we can do His will without, or that maybe we can stand against the world without God. "Hey, God, got this. I can withstand that temptation. I'm good. Don't worry about it." We can be like Muhammad Ali was when he was a young man on an airplane. And the airplane has some turbulence. The pilot comes up and says, "Hey, guys, listen, there's some turbulence. I need you to sit down and buckle your seatbelts." So the stewardesses were going up and down the aisles. And they came to Muhammad Ali. His seatbelt wasn't buckled. She said, "Sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt." He looked back at her and said, "Ma'am, Superman don't need no seatbelt." She quickly retorted, "Yeah, but Superman don't need no airplane either." We can really overestimate our ability sometimes, can't we? We're not too far from that. And, you know, when you think about it, I think the Christian life can be rightly compared to walking up an escalator that's going down. You ever try to walk up an escalator that's going down? It's kind of hard. It can be done, but you got to walk pretty briskly, right?
Yeah.
If you've never done it, watch somebody trying to do it. And if you can't find it, go to YouTube. Look it up. You're going to find some funny videos, I'm telling you. And so, but I think if you look, if you're walking up an escalator going down, all you have to do is stop walking, and you're going to start to go down, right? You don't have to turn around and start walking down. Just stop trying to go up, and you're going to be carried down. I think in the same way in this Christian life, as we're walking towards Christ, the world is always trying to pull us down. Our flesh is always trying to pull us down. And all we have to do as Christians is just stop walking, and we're going to slide backward. Get lukewarm. Go through the motions, and you're going to start sliding backwards. It's important that we daily seek Christ. And I know it sounds like a cliche. We've got to read our Bibles daily. We've got to spend time in prayer daily. But it's absolutely necessary, especially to get rid of those nooks and the crannies of our life. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119, a young man, how can he keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Verse 11, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I like what John Bunyan says, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, when he's talking about the Bible. He says, this book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And I think another really important reason we spend time with God is because it's a reality check one day at a time. You know, I can stand up here and I can lie to you, right? You don't know my heart. You don't know my thoughts. I can put on a good face. I've been a Christian long enough to know the right slogans. I know what to say. I even know how to make my face look like I'm being really sincere. That's a great attribute in your speaker, right? But if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. We can lie to each other. But when you sit alone with God, when it's all quiet and it's just his word in front of you, you can't lie to him.
That's right. That's right.
You can't hide the nooks and the crannies anymore. I think a lot of times we avoid that quiet time with God because we know if we sit down and we get alone and we listen for his voice, we'll hear it. And he's going to call out those nooks and those crannies. He's going to ask us to do something about it. But that's why that time is so important, because that is where we give up the nooks and the crannies. When he brings them to attention, we can give them up to him. And of course, after we spend that time with God, we can't just hear God's word, but we must also obey it. Of course, we've got James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And how do you remain in Christ? Well, he tells you, obey my commands and you remain in my love. Obedience is absolutely necessary. So we look at our past through the blood of Christ. We live in the present through the power of Christ. And lastly, we hope in the future in the promises of Christ. I've heard it said that where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. And as Christians, we should have the ultimate faith in the future because Christ is our hope. And that hope should lead us to live in the present, live in the power of Christ in the present. And I think for some of us, in the nooks and the crannies of our lives, we are holding on. We're putting our hope in the future in something other than Christ sometimes. Just in those little remote places. We don't say it out loud. Of course, we're also, yeah, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. But down in deep, those remote, isolated areas, we're kind of hoping in the future. We're putting our hope in maybe the bank account, our retirement plan, maybe getting a particular job or getting a promotion, getting your education. I mean, that's almost special, building a family. Whatever it is, it's different for each person. But obviously, putting our hope in something other than Christ. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. He calls them aliens and strangers. This is not our home. Thank you, the Lord. And so we shouldn't live here like it is. Our hope in the future should be based in Christ. Really, we're just passing through this world on our way home. We're kind of like a drifter. The first thing I think of when I think of drifter is Rambo. Is anybody else there with me? The first Rambo? I don't know. There's a lot of young people in the crowd. the first Rambo, but he's a drifter. He's walking through town, nothing but a backpack to his name. And he doesn't own much, but because he doesn't own much, he's not really held down either. You know? And we should not be so heavily invested in this world that we are not free to live sold out for Christ. As drifters, we need to pack light and store our treasure in heaven. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says it very well. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we look at our past through the blood of Christ. We live in the present through the power of Christ. We put our hope in the future and the promises of Christ. Question is, will you be like Gollum? Are you going to hold on to your nooks and crannies like they're your precious and forsake everything else? Hold on to that. Or will you be like Paul, who says in Philippians 3:8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
You know, D.L. Moody had a favorite saying that he borrowed from Henry Barley, but it was this: the world has yet to see what Almighty God can and will do with, for, through, in, and by a man wholly and fully yielded to him and to his service. He would usually then add, and by God's grace, I will try my utmost to be that man. The question is, will you strive to do the same? Will I strive to be the same?